And then the masculine or the other person says, oh, you want that? Here. And grabs the apple and gives it to the feminine. I gave that example and I knew it. I like saw this lady in the audience and I was like, she is going to have a problem. Yeah. She was like, I can get my own apple. I don't need a man to get my apple.
That's right. We like, bitch, it's you. You're getting your own apple.
This way.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
So, hello listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hey You Know It. Today we have a special guest in our studio, Marcy Currier.
Yay! Marcy, our resident intuitive.
Our resident intuitive.
And who hasn't been here for a while.
Yes, and tarot card reader.
It's been almost exactly a year.
Really?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So Marcy, if you guys have never heard her before, feel free to go back through our Pantheon of podcasts where she gives advice on advice. She pulls cards on people. She's no holds barred intuitive force of nature.
Yeah, of humans like and animals
true. As well. Which I find
there's
fascinating.
There's something about like the animals where I'm like, do we have to talk about it?
But I mean, animals are you know, are a huge part of our culture now. Like, I think if aliens came down, they would definitely say the animals, cats in particular, might be in charge.
Right. Yeah.
Because look how they get treated.
Yeah.
We were just talking about cats in the previous podcast that some woman had two cats and she was trying to keep them out of her room. And they kept getting back in. I'm like, yeah, because you can't run their lives. Yeah. Like, if they want to get in, they're going to get in. I saw a sign up in our neighborhood that said found cat. So there's a picture of this cat and then people like stroking. I'm like, that cat got out.
Right.
He didn't want to be found. He's gone.
Right. Yeah.
If he could take down those signs, he would.
Well, it's funny that you mention it because I'm just at the point of reconciling the fact that I have three cats.
I didn't know you had three cats.
I had one cat and then I got another cat. And that was a couple years ago.
On purpose, or did they get you?
My mom said, well, I had a cat named Harry, and my mom sent me a picture of a little tiny black kitten and was like, don't you need a Sherman? And we were like, I think I need a Sherman. And so we had Harry and Sherman, who became these binary archetypes for my son and I. Like in any duo, there's a Harry and a Sherman. And probably, you're the Harry, you're the Sherman.
Okay, I'm not sure what that means. Okay.
Katie is
I'll
the
take
Harry. Jaquetta is the Sherman. Okay. So Harry is... Like,
I keep it real. Yeah. It's a Sherman.
You know,
is that what
it is?
You
get
okay.
it. Yeah.
All right.
So Harry is the one that's going to be like more polite, maybe a little bit more like hesitant to try something out, not so sure about that. Where Sherman is either in or out, and you know it right away.
Oh, okay. Like, that sounds right.
You know,
that's right.
So this became kind of like our way of framing the world between my son and I. And then Sherman left, which was a very Sherman move.
Was he like, I'm out. I'm done.
He left one day, and my last words to him, can I swear? I can swear.
Yeah, of course.
My last words to him were, goodbye, Sherman, with your weird little white asshole. That's what I said to him. And then he never came back.
He was probably like, I knew it.
It's like, fine, if that's the way I'm going to be talked to.
He was all black fur, but had white skin. Weird.
That is
really
weird.
Really white skin. Yeah. Like, white
I've never
skin.
Seen that before.
I've never seen it before.
Cats are weird. Yeah, they
so
have their own thing going on.
He left, and then Harry kind of went, imagine. Yeah. Imagine Jaquetta just up and leaves one day. You might be like, okay.
In the middle of the podcast.
I'm not super surprised that happened.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, not totally shocked, but man, I don't know what to do.
Yes. So now Harry doesn't know what to do.
So then Harry does, he's alone, he's meowing, he's just walking through the house, meow. Yeah, just, you know.
That's what
bereft.
I do when we don't podcast.
just you walk through the house meowing.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then, so I had a vision.
I'm taking my white asshole elsewhere. That's what I'm doing.
So I had a vision of two, like, brother-sister kittens. And I was like, oh, we're not doing that. And then my friend was like, I have these two brother-sister kittens. Do you want them?
So you shouldn't even have been like, thinking about it.
Well, I think it was just the vision.
It just came.
Yeah. And they're great, Quincy and Lil.
Okay.
And Quincy and Lil are, so if you can imagine like a two, like a A-B line. Mm-hmm. Quinty and Lil are like the crosshairs of that.
Okay.
There's a math word for whatever. They make an axis.
So okay. Yeah, yeah.
Quinty and Lil are two sort of like, they're both Harry Shermans, but one's a Harry Sherman, one's a Sherman Harry.
Okay.
Do they all get along together?
Well, no.
If Sherman would come back, he'd find out.
I know. Sherman would come back and be like, everybody out.
I think Harry would have rather, I think in retrospect, if we had asked him, he might have said, you know, I'm going to get over my grief. You don't need to torture me with new baby cats.
Okay. Yes, but thank you.
So that is just one of your things where you can intuitively understand what's going on with animals.
Right? Yes.
Okay.
So do you work with, do people bring animals to you?
N-O.
Okay.
Nope. sometimes like people will, in the course of my work with someone, will talk about an animal and I'll go, oh, it's such and such a
thing. This is what's going on.
But I don't actively seek out animal readings.
Okay.
But I work with this radio station and they had the idea that I would, they hold an annual, pet costume contest.
Okay.
Around like Halloween time. And so they had the audacity to assume that I might want to read animals, and then I
do. In costume.
Well, I do it on the radio usually, okay. Like the week before. Yeah. Okay. And then, also in costume.
Because I would love to hear what how animals feel about wearing costumes.
Okay, do you want to know?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And the same goes with cat shows. I think we had talked about the cat shows last time I was on here. Some really like it, and some don't really like it, and some hate it. And some kind of like,
if they like it, what is the feeling that they get from it? Is it
it's like, I look good?
I look good, or am I warm?
I'm fancy.
It's fun?
It's fun.
Like, okay. Oh, yeah. And like, they're, you know, their owner is happy, and they're happy that their owner's happy. And like, they're getting a special kind of attention, and they know
everyone's looking at them.
And, yeah, there are certain, I mean, I think just like people, there are certain animals that like enjoy that sort of thing.
I never thought about it that way. You get a certain amount of attention for putting an outfit on.
Someone told me that their dog loved putting on clothing because it meant she was going out to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Because the owner would only dress her up like, you know, like a party. She's taking her to a party or to, you know, an event, and she wants her dog to be fancy. So the dog associated the clothing with the going out and being around a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I put a coat on my dog because it was cold, or I intuited that it was cold, and I put the coat on, and she was like, you know what, I'll wear it, but, you know, I'm not really into it. Like, you seem okay with it, I'll wear it.
Yeah.
But it's not exciting.
I think my mom stopped because she didn't like all the attention she was getting, but she, for a few years in a row, did 30 Days of Stella. Stella's her dog.
Mm-hmm.
And she dressed her up in a different holiday outfit.
Oh, my God.
Every day for a month. And so there was, like, a Kwanzaa outfit. There was a like a Hanukkah outfit.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. So it wasn't even just Christmas. It was
holidays.
Like the whole holiday season, and it started the day after
like
Thanksgiving.
The Festival of Lights outfit. The Diwali.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
There's like a Diwali, and then there's a Buddhist holiday in September too. And like
that's funny.
Yeah. So that was fun, and Stella loves it. Like, she'll sit still and, like, pose and wait for her picture to be taken.
That is amazing to
me. It's really amazing.
Uh-huh.
They will.
I've
feel like a lot, dogs in particular, they will do, if they think it will make you happy, they will do it.
They're so. Uh-huh.
Even if they're not crazy about it. Like, I put a hat on my dog one time because it came with her coat, and she was like, again, I'll wear it. But
I just love, like, a monkey in an outfit. Oh, my God. There's nothing else more than
a monkey
wearing clothes. It's the
pinnacle.
Yes, yes, that is my favorite.
So, for people who have never listened to us have you on as a guest before, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Okay.
Cats and dogs.
I'm...
Which is a minor part of what she does.
I love the idea of, like, this main thing, and then I have these other things that I do.
Mostly I work with cats.
No, I am a full-time professional intuitive tarot card reader, energy healer, and I guess kind of like a coach.
Are you teaching as well? Anymore?
I haven't... Well, yeah, I guess I teach... I have not set up a workshop in a while. I'm a yoga teacher.
I did not know that.
That was kind of new. I think I was a yoga teacher the last time I was here.
Possibly.
Yeah. So I know you have different packages, and you'll do a package like
Right. So it's and I think I'll be coming up with something new for the new year pretty soon. I wanted to do a program about, like, letting your freak flag fly. Mm-hmm. And just, like, just little things where people get so
locked. Why would you want to lose control like that?
Well, that was kind of the fear. Like, I was, like, afraid that people might not be super into it. Most people that want to let their freak flag fly already are doing so.
I think a lot of people are scared that the genie gets let out of the bottle and then that's it.
Yeah.
They can't, put their freak flag back in their wherever.
Well, there's this great quote by Tim Leary about, every time that we, against our, own will, make stupid small talk. And his thing that he says is, you really want to ask, what do you think deja vu is for? Or when's the last time you cried? But instead you're making small talk, you're locking everybody into that paradigm. I mean, this is such a paraphrase. I forgot the whole thing. But the end part of that quote is look for the others or find the others. And I think that that's more what I'm thinking of. It's not so much about being wild and crazy because that has its own issues anyway, but it's more finding a way to express yourself or not even yourself, but express what's there more directly so that we can all connect on those of us who really feel called or compelled to connect on that level
can do so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm for that. I hate small talk.
Dude, I can't do it.
I feel like when people post pictures of food on Facebook,
small
talk of Facebook. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because that, it's
here's a ham neutral. Sandwich.
It's neutral, and then anybody can just, if they feel lonely, can say, it's a nice looking ham sandwich.
Yeah. I always make a cynical comment, typical. Typical sandwich.
My favorite is when people post those things, and it's really ugly looking.
Yeah,
well, not everybody's a good food photographer.
Well, that's the thing. Food doesn't photograph well. For commercials and for restaurants and for magazine shoots.
They don't use real food.
They don't use real food, and they have special lighting. They have certain things that look like food.
Like mashed potatoes instead of ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. I think the other small talk is you've just gotten a pedicure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that on the internet as well.
And
it's like,
what
did you want to say?
I think there are people that don't really care about being original and just kind of want to, make it through their life.
They just want to fit in.
Yeah.
And then I also think there are people that very much would love anything. And I think there's probably more of us or more of these kind of people than we would, expect, but who just don't know what else to say or how else to say it because there's been no... I mean, there's no template for it.
Dude, is that also, maybe a lack of stimulus or opportunity?
Or just, a lack of, the combination of, maybe a lack of creativity combined with a lack of safety. Is it okay if I do this? And then I think there are people like me where I didn't really have a choice. There was never any, hint that I would end up conforming or behaving appropriately.
You don't say.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Everyone says that to me when I talk about
this. You weren't, quote-unquote, normal.
Yeah, there was no way. I tried really hard to pretend for a while, but,
how'd that work out?
It did. Here we are.
Yeah.
You know? And I didn't even try that hard. It was crazy to me. Looking at the world always just felt crazy to me. And I think that was where, so just for new listeners, I also used to produce a comedy show and do comedy stuff. And I think that's where my, resonance with a lot of comics is you look at the world and you're like, this is insane.
And I got to say something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Today.
Exactly. And I think there are of that kind of segment of people, there are those of us that are like, this seems crazy, but maybe it's just me. Mm-hmm. And then there are those of us that are like, no, this is fucking nuts. I can't, I'm going to scream or I'm going to I got to do something about this.
Yeah. I was reading an interesting article about underground art and the underground scene. And they're saying that with the way the internet is now, with everything being available all the time and everyone commenting on everything all the time, there is that protection is not there anymore for you to go and do something avant-garde and work on it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The first time you do something and put it out there, people assume this is a finished product. And everyone has something to say about it.
Yeah.
So there's no...
How are you going to grow and cultivate something? And
so even that space is disappearing.
Yeah.
As well.
And I think if we were to distill what my goal with my clients is just to develop the courage to withstand that. Because that's really what we're not going to change that. The courage to go you may not understand me or you may not get what I'm doing or this may not be as good as I'm going to be eventually. Mm-hmm. But this is what I got for right now.
So developing some resilience against those kind of onslaughts.
And beyond that, like, not even caring in the first place. Like, resilience, I feel like, is like, this is bothering me, but I'm withstanding it. Mm-hmm. And I see it more as, like, who fucking cares? This is stupid.
So you're, like, giving zero fucks, as they would say.
Yeah, yeah.
On Black Twitter.
Yeah, just being a little bit more, like, whatever.
It's out there, and what?
Yeah, you don't know me, I don't...
So this is a completely different way of thinking about what you do mm-hmm. and what the goal is of what you do. Because I think traditionally people think of a tarot card reader as someone who's going to foretell,
right.
you know, events.
And what I say about that is I'm not a fucking fortune teller.
Yeah. She doesn't have a magic wall. She
usually gives people, like, a very good...
She's not wearing scarves.
I still like to put that on you, though. I still like to be like, what do you think yes. is going to happen, Mars?
What happens next?
I think that that's fine. And I enjoy doing... I think it's possible to predict things, but I think it's more interesting, more powerful, and more, like, appropriate to, like, okay, so we do a reading, and everything that you've got going on now is the thing that's making it so that what's going to happen is going to happen. If you don't like what's going to happen, well, let's look at what's going on right now.
Oh, right, right, right.
And, make an adjustment. It's kind of like if you're on, like, 95, and you're like, you're going to be in Connecticut soon. Well, do you want to be in Connecticut? Because if you don't, like, figure out where the exits are.
That's where you're heading.
Like, and
the sign says Connecticut.
So when people come up to me and they, you know, they'll say, am I going to get married? And it's like, I don't know what
really?
To tell you about that.
That, like, to me is the least interesting kind of question you could ask somebody.
What are the most,
so you get, when am I going
to... And then we have to talk about things I really love, because I hate complaining.
Okay, Bobby's asking, what are the typical questions that people ask? And what are some questions that you want to...
wish they would ask or want to address with
people?
Yeah, because people will ask, I mean, love, relationship, money, work. You know, those are really, that's pretty much what a lot of people are asking about. And someone said to me that, you know, if you think of tarot, that it's kind of like a mirror where you go, like, do I have something on my face? And, or you can think of it as like, will you go climb up in that tree and tell me what you see around me? Mm-hmm. And I think when thinking of tarot like that, it's like, oh, we can look at things regarding love and money. I mean, those are the questions we have. Those are the questions that all of us want to answer, but going about answering them in a different way so that it's not, where am I going to end up or how's this all going to go? Which I do think are useful and valuable questions sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, where, you know, am I on the right track? Mm-hmm. That's a great question. Mm-hmm. You know, how are we doing with this? But then to be able to say, like, what is in the best alignment for me right now? What do I really want? And, you know, what is stopping me or what's telling me I should be doing this? You know, that does that make sense?
Like, yeah.
I love when people are self-reflective, when we can all remember that there's way more going on than we are conscious of.
I find that comforting.
Yeah.
What?
That there's a lot of stuff going on that I just have no idea about it whatsoever. That mm-hmm. gives me, I guess, what I would approximate as hope, because I don't really do that. But, you know, it's like, I don't know what's going on. Like, I have a very small view of what's happening.
Yeah.
There could be some really cool stuff going on out there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and I think, I was in this coffee shop in Brooklyn, and I overheard... It was, like, friends trying to, like, encourage another friend in some decision-making. And I never do this, but I was like...
I'm a psychic.
I did. I was like, I'm a tarot card reader. Do you want help with this?
They're probably like, oh, my God.
And it was just so funny because, like, the friend, not the person with... He was getting his PhD and, like, had two job offers. Mm-hmm. One in Milwaukee and one in, I think it was, Georgia.
Okay. Yeesh.
Oh, God.
That's what I said. I was like, first of
like
all,
cards, do you want to help me out?
Yeah. Do you want to wait for a couple more offers? Like,
yeah.
But then,
just on a personal note,
I was like, personally speaking, this is neither.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's also why I like the cards, because I feel like it gives me a way to be more helpful, because so many things I would just be like, oh, that's
Milwaukee.
Terrible. Don't do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so the friend, and this always happens. There's usually. The friend is like, this person needs a reading. Like, usually the friend is more likely to, like, say this person, you know, needs to ask a question. And also is more likely to let me know that I'm right. Like, when I do a reading for someone and their friends are around, the person getting the reading usually sits there stone-faced and goes, and the friend is, like, jumping out of their
seat.
You
are so right. She's
like,
right.
Screaming.
I've been saying this the whole time.
Yes.
This is the equivalent of the person who's like, well, can we have a volunteer? And someone grabs someone else's hand and raises it up, right?
It's a lot like that. And then, so we did the reading, and it was, like, in the cards, it was super, super clear that Georgia was the better option.
Mm-hmm.
But the man that I was speaking to had already, like, convinced himself that he wanted to go to Milwaukee.
Good Lord.
And I was like, and then, you know, you just have to kind of go, like,
okay, fine.
Do your thing.
I was thinking Milwaukee because it's Wisconsin and there's a lot of cheese, which would make
that's where you would go. It's a tough one. It's between a whole region of the country, which I'm predisposed just to not feel comfortable in,
right?
And Milwaukee,
right? Exactly.
Yeah. I know. I've been to Georgia plenty of times. I'm like,
You know. Stone
it's not
Mountain.
As bad as Virginia.
No, but, I mean, those are your choices are Georgia. And first of all, I like that it's a city or a whole state.
Yeah.
Where the, wasn't like Atlanta versus Milwaukee. It was Georgia.
So, I hope he makes a good choice.
Yeah, good luck to him. He clearly wasn't trying to hear what the cards had to say.
Yeah. I told him he was overthinking it. That was what had come up in the cards.
And the friend was like, yes, see, man. I told
they
you.
They always do that.
Bruce.
I have been dying, Marcy, to hear about your the night of the ghost stories that you did.
Yeah. Yes. That was really fun.
You told ghost stories as well?
No. I got to hang out with Paul Rudd.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
And Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
I'm not sure who that is.
From Walking Dead.
Oh, I've refused to watch it since Negan came on.
So that's him, Negan.
Okay.
Oh, good.
So tell us all about
it. So Hillary Burton is married to Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Uh-huh. I had not heard of her. I mean, I'm just don't watch.
I don't know who that is.
She was on One Tree Hill. She was on TRL like a long time ago.
I don't know what either of those things are. Okay.
She's an actress.
Okay.
And she had heard me on the radio, and I had this like great moment where she was like, "Oh my God, is this Marcy from the radio?" Like,
Marcy from the radio.
But she does a lot of volunteer work, and she works with Astor Place, Astor Place, which is almost identical in structure and function to where I worked before I became a full-time tarot card reader.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like Waterford Country School in Connecticut, which is, you know, kind of an umbrella organization that has a residential program and a foster care program and an in-home program, but all delivering services to family and children.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Families.
All right.
So anyway, so she's done this. This was their second one, I think. But she raises money to build, like, better housing for the kids that live in the residential program.
Okay. All right,
cool.
So Ghost Stories is, basically just a fundraiser for that.
Yeah.
And she gets, like, her other famous friends and they all get together, and I got to do readings for the audience. I did, like, my stage show thing where I read for the audience.
So you were on stage, and they told ghost stories? Or read ghost stories?
Some of the kids had written ghost stories.
Oh my God.
So they were really funny. Like, yeah. They were not supposed to be funny. Like, my son was like, wait a minute. The kids that wrote them were there? They just roasted those kids to their face? but I think the kids, I remember being that age and writing ghost story, like a horror story, and being like, this is a little over the top. Like, even at the
you're just trying to recreate all, like, of the, it's like a mishmash of everything.
Putting everything in
it's
there.
It's a pastiche of everything.
Every word
And they
know.
Probably are cracking themselves up.
It was, because they were just amazing. Like, this one ghost story, the girl, this I think was like the cap of the night. But this woman had accidentally locked, she was very heavy, and she had accidentally locked herself in the grocery store. And she, like on a long weekend or something, when the grocery store was going to be closed for a couple of days.
And she couldn't get out of the entire grocery store.
She couldn't get out.
It was on lockdown.
And then she ate all of the, like, snacks, like all of the, like, cakes and pies and stuff, and then was still hungry. So she started eating fruits and vegetables, and she got, what's the poop disease? Like, where you die From eating poop?
From eating poop?
From eating poop. If you get a poop, you know, there's like
Like E. coli?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. God.
I'm like, what a disease. She finished up all the fruits and vegetables and then she went to excrement? No.
No.
She had some bad fruit, some dirty fruit.
There was E. coli on a grape.
This was the kid's ghost story?
Yes! That's what I'm saying.
There was E. coli on a grape is awesome.
I feel bad that I gave it away, but
it's a great story.
Really good. And then there was another really good one. It was kind of like, Scream maybe, where it was sort of a send-up, where there was a girl alone in a house, and then this, like, murderer came to her front door, but then the murderer was like, wait a minute, is that a dead baby ghosts behind you? And, like, it's just kind of, like, all these tropes all met.
Murder's worst day.
It was amazing. It was so good. But anyway.
I saw the picture, and I was like, wonder what's happening.
So, in the second act, I got to go on the stage, and I did, like, people just asked normal questions. And it was, I always feel weird when I get more access to things because it's Halloween, because I'm not...
Hey, it's like Black History Month for any African-American entertainer.
Okay, all right.
That's when we come out. Like, is the one, I know in February, even if I'm not doing anything at all, I'll get booked. Because they need black people. It's the same thing for you. It's, Halloween, they're like, what are we going to do?
And then you take it because you're like, well, all right.
Yeah. I mean, some people, that's their thing.
Yeah.
You can make all your money in that month.
I mean, that's how I got on the radio in the first place. But there are times when I have to really think about, like, what am I doing? You know what I mean? Like, you know, okay, this is a very big stretch. I'm going to say that before I make this analogy.
Okay.
But you know how Dave Chappelle had to, like, take a pause and was like, am I negatively impacting, like, what people think? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. So you had to think
That makes sense because you want to represent not only yourself as a professional, but your profession in a certain way. And I see what you're saying. But at the same time, it's like, for a lot of people, like, I really love Halloween. I know you do. My husband does. We love it because we know we can see things every single night, basically, for a month.
Yeah.
Like, we can see ghost stories or funeral readings, things that are, you know, otherworldly or macabre. At that time of year, it's like, okay, there's tons of it. In May, what are the chances of me going to see something where someone's doing ghost stories?
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
And, I mean, I think that it fits in a lot of ways. I also am pretty vocal about, like, look, I know you have me here because it's Halloween.
Yeah.
But I do this all the time, and it's not scary, it's not spooky, and it's not weird. And, like, I'm pretty direct about that.
Yeah.
So then it can look at it in a way that it's exposure. That people who never, ever would be able to go to.
Or people who wouldn't allow themselves. Yeah. So people who really want to see a tarot card reading or speak to a psychic are using the Halloween time as an excuse.
I mean, the whole, like, story about it is that the veil is lifted at that time. And in a certain way, it is.
Yeah, people are open.
People will, you know, get readings when they normally wouldn't.
They got the four R's.
What's the four R's? Rehearse, record, rinse, or repeat.
209 West 40th Street. # BunkLifeNYC.
The people you were on stage. They are asking you to read. Did you do like card spreads or just single pulls?
I have a little short 4-card spread that I do. If there are any tarot card readers listening. There's a significator, which sort of tells you about the situation, the major challenge that you face, the likely outcome given the current trajectory, and then immediate advice.
I like the word significator.
Yeah, significator.
That's cool. I wonder if we could do one for...
We can totally do
one. Can we do one? What's that card spread called?
I made it up.
The Marcy?
Trying to remember...
The Marcy Quad.
I can send you a PDF and you can put it with the podcast.
Yeah, and that would be really cool.
Could see it or download it or whatever.
So we're going to do this Marcy 4 quad spread right now.
I think I call it 4-card spread for insight and advice.
Okay.
4-card spread for insight and advice. Okay, right. So what do we want to
hear about? I guess we...
Let's just talk about the world.
Okay.
The state of the world.
You made that a lot easier for us. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. That's why we love you as a guest.
The state of the world right now.
All right. And I'm going to keep my opinions to myself.
Really?
During the layout. Yeah. During the layout only, people. That's not fair.
I mean, I don't think anybody wants that.
I'm saying while you're, you know...
Okay.
I don't want to influence what's happening here.
All right.
Anymore
that's the other thing that's really funny. So when I do readings for people, a lot of times they'll say, I don't want to say anything. I don't want to influence you. And then
no, the cards, not you.
But I usually want to be like, do you know me? Like, nothing influences me. People have been trying their best to influence me for 40 years almost. Like,
it cannot be
done. It's not possible.
It's not going to happen.
So when I'm doing readings, usually I'll have people like, but then there are other people that say, they'll be more comfortable knowing that I have some context. Because otherwise they're like, well, you don't know what you're talking about. So like, how could you know what the right answer is? Mm-hmm. So I always have to, when I'm doing readings, ask people, are you going to be more comfortable if you give me information or if you don't? Because I don't care.
Well, I'm telling you right now, I don't like that first card.
There's no cards out.
Thank you for moving it.
Yeah. All right, let's see. Okay, so the world is what it is. It is what it is. And the card that comes up is the world. The world is the reminder that everything that happens is the perfect manifestation of everything that is sort of like underlying it in the subtle field. Does that make sense? So like the world card says, look, there's nothing wrong with the world right now. There's nothing wrong with what's happening. I mean, sure, we might all have problems with it. We might all not like it, but there's nothing wrong in the like grand sense of things. And it would behoove all of us to remember to look at it that way, because otherwise we spend all of our energy trying to focus on what's wrong out there. When we're not going to find the solution out there.
Hmm. Okay, like this is the time for everything to be happening.
Yeah. And that's what,
or
what's
it, it's happening. Always like this.
Kind of, yeah. And what it makes me think of is like, so when Trump was elected, I wasn't happy about that. But I didn't like pass out from shock. Mm-hmm. You know, I was a little like, oh, a little surprised, you know, kind of like, oh man, okay, I guess it went that way. But when people were like stunned and shocked, I'm like, this is the United States of America.
Yeah, what's shocking what about a racist idiot being president?
Like, what are you talking about?
Have you
about?
Not read history?
Yeah, like, where did like, they start at?
Yes, yeah, exactly.
And it was like, we can remember that the events of our lives or of the world or whatever tell us what's going on. Mm-hmm. So when Trump is elected and people go, oh, I thought we were further along than that. Well, we're not,
yeah,
bro. Like,
yeah.
You know.
Hey, those of us who lived through Reagan.
Yeah.
Same thing. We're, huh? Really? Yeah. We're still here?
Yeah.
A failed movie star?
Yeah. And it's just like this. It's not different because it's not different. It is what it is. And this, having this card here too, kind of gives us a lot of hope. The world card is a positive card about things playing out exactly in like if you believe in things being ordained or if you believe things happen, you know, in a certain way. It's like where everything's like right on target. Everything's happening exactly as it could be or as it should be. So that's the Significator card.
Okay.
Like, what are we talking about? The Queen of Pentacles reversed is the Challenge card, which is sort of like, it's disruptive to those of us that are trying to make sense of anything. It's disruptive to our comfort, to our desire for things to make sense. The Queen of Pentacles is like really, really practical. You can think of her, so she's the embodiment of the earth element. So nurturing and grounded and sensual and all of that. So basically, anyone who is reasonable is negatively impacted by what's going on in the world right now. It doesn't feel good. But we have the likely outcome, the Empress, which is sort of the rise of the feminine. The Empress is the mother, and it is like associated with the Mother Earth. So it's like this is all returning us to where it needs to be. Like this is all coming together. And I remember, you know, after the right after the election happened, you know, where people were going out of their way to be inclusive to others and going out of their way to like show support and
to be allies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like and to really say like this is not my president. This is not how I feel. This is not where I'm at. And that hadn't really happened before. I mean, people might have felt that way, but they weren't. There was like a much more overt expression that came out. Mm-hmm. And so the advice is the Lover's reverse, which is basically, if you don't like it, what are you going to do about it? And, you know, what in you, it's kind of like if you don't like the food that you cook? Well, what are you buying at the grocery store? It's that there's like an inward turning that needs to happen and that's encouraged to happen. The lover's reverse is like, you got this, like the thing that's happening is happening because of where you're at. If you don't like what's happening, you need to change where you're at.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Like
so
it.
Look at the man in the mirror.
Yes.
And change yourself if you want to see the outer reflection
yeah, exactly.
of the world.
I think this is fascinating because today I've been thinking about volcanoes and talking about the feminine coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the feminine coming back. There's been a lot of explosions.
Mm-hmm.
There was an explosion in Antarctica, and I think there's also an explosion in Bali. There's going to be more.
Yeah.
There's predicted to be one in Iceland, and I think there's been some explosions or eruptions in Costa Rica. And then this, to me, looks like there's a volcano going on.
There's a volcano in the background, yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Well, I think the thing to remember, and I think where we get all mixed up, is that we go into, like, vindication, and we just need to think of it as rebalancing. So, like, whether we're trying to, like, right things by being vindictive, or whether we're witnessing something and going, oh, yeah, they're getting there. It's like, that doesn't do anything. What does it is bringing things into balance and recognizing that, like, sure, there's a disruption in the rebalancing, but rebalancing isn't done, like, in an attempt to, like, pay someone back. It's just this, I'd rather have it be rebalanced.
I wish people could understand that concept, though. I think that's really a foreign concept.
That's
because
hard.
Everyone, like, when you're trying to balance things out, as you say, there's always people who are like, but now we're getting less. It's like, well, you had too much.
Right? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
we're making it more fair.
It's got to
yeah.
come from somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And the thing is that none of us are really equipped to deal with our emotions.
I am certainly not.
Like we're just, it's not something that in our culture or our society has been valued.
Nope.
For a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes out and people are like, it's too messy.
Yeah. Yeah. And also there's
more cards are coming
like,
out, by the way, people.
There's this thing of people either suppressing, suppressing their emotions or believing that their emotions are deserving of some sort of like special attention. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the card that comes up to
hey, my card, the Four of
like,
Wands.
Fix that. Four of Swords.
Oh, Swords, sorry.
Is basically.
I'm like, where's the water?
The Four of Swords is essentially meditation.
Okay.
That finding a way to still the mind so that we can witness without reacting to our feelings and our emotional impulses is sort of what we should do.
I think that's solid advice.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I feel like a lot of people are going to be pissed off at me after this.
Why?
Well, I've been going back through, you know, like Facebook shows you like on this day.
Mm-hmm.
People were so angry with me because when Trump was elected, one, I saw that shit coming. Like,
yeah.
I was not surprised. I was like, was it Dave Chappelle and who else was in that Chris Rock.
Chris Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People were not surprised.
For many reasons.
People paying attention. I think just, it wasn't surprising. It was disappointing.
You know, I thought I was like, so people aren't that stupid to let this happen. Even though I know that there's a whole population that would be for it. I understood that, but I was like, no, and they're not going to give the power to this guy. Are you kidding?
But it's not just about the people voting, it's the way that our political system works.
And then,
this idea that the more people voted for the person who lost was what we're trying to digest right now.
Yeah.
But that's the way our democracy was set up.
Yeah.
So that what happened can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. And so, like, I kind of had been like, and also, when I was in college, I majored in international relations. And then in the years since, kind of gave up on caring about, not caring, I care, but gave up on expecting politics to be a way that I think it should be. And kind of was like, when everyone was so upset, was sort of like, wait, didn't we all give this game up? Like, we're not all just, you know, watching this as entertainment. Like, some of us are really
Some people
invested.
Are really invested in it. And
which
think
I
that
also understand.
I always tell people, you don't have to follow what they say. You don't have to mistreat transgender people. You don't have to, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to do what the government says. Like, you don't have to discriminate against people.
Well, it's like a thing that's playing out. So I had kind of, you know, felt it coming. I was in Barbados, and the night before, someone laughingly, like, so, I mean, just only Barbados. It's not that far away. It's not that different from us, but they kept laughing at me. Like, oh, so how's that election going? You know, just like, totally laughing at the American.
We had the same thing because we were abroad and people were just like,
yeah, they just laughed.
What do you think?
That's what they were buying people cheeseburgers in London. Because Trump.
So they could cry into their cheeseburger?
No, because Trump, that's his favorite dinner. When he comes home at night, he goes into a separate room and he has a cheeseburger.
I heard he binge eats.
He doesn't even see like the kids.
That's why, because he's like
sports.
He's going Homer on it.
Yeah. So that's his favorite, like a cheeseburger. So well weird. Done.
Oh, God.
And I mean, I guess it's an interesting way to look at it, because that's how we look at other world leaders. Right.
Yeah. They you just, know? And I think, I mean, my sense was that they, like, we Americans are more of a laughing stock than we know, or than we, like, really are, like, ready to admit. But it was like European expats and then the people of Barbados that I met were like, just thought it was hilarious. And
it's what they expect
just
from
so
the U.S.
Funny. So someone I had been doing, I did like a tarot event the night before and someone asked that question. And mostly just as like a, hey, what do we think about that? Without any, I mean, they don't care. They don't have to deal with it. And so it came up, I was like, oh, it looks like he might very well win. Like that he could totally win. So then when he won, I think the lack of proximity, like, I just didn't feel as upset as other people were, you know?
But I also think that your meh and your kind of, your feelings about this have come from a place where you have already evolved to a point where you have a peace with it, versus a lot of people in America who are not very...
right. And my children
living in a bubble.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people were living in an area or believe that they were in a place, well, why would no one I know would ever vote for this man?
And the challenge was, immediately people called me racist.
Okay.
And ignorant. Because, like, so on Facebook, I was like, wow, you guys are really upset. And I wasn't...
Wait, why were they calling you racist?
Because apparently not being super upset means I'm racist. Like, people, Marcy, your privilege is showing. And so let's talk about, and sure, maybe. I mean, obviously. But I have, you know, my...
You have a black son.
I have a black son.
So you should be more concerned than anybody.
Yeah, my, like, if we want to really get into it, like, I consider myself queer, I guess. If I was into, like, giving myself a name of, like, what I am, you know, of which I'm not, so I don't care, like... You know, so it's just this funny thing where, and also just my niece and nephew are, their father is Dominican.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, there's, like, it was like, this is not I'm not unaffected by this. And me not being super livid isn't because I'm unaffected or pretending I'm unaffected. It's because I think that the best way to deal with this is the way I'm dealing with it. But watching, like, how mean everyone was to me.
I saw some of that. And then I saw, was it you who posted the thing about Trump being the master teacher in disguise?
Yes.
It, like, because I...
But that makes... I remember struggle. That. That makes sense to me, though.
I'm going to struggle to explain it, but you can probably... I know you can explain it better than me, but the idea that Trump is the embodiment of the shadow...
Yeah, so it's like this thing that where we all want to pretend like...
But also that you learn something from everybody.
Yeah.
You don't... whether it's negative or positive,
but
right?
I mean, it's also... It's like the world card where the thing... We want to pretend that that racism is over. It just makes
us... Well,
we
had Obama
happy.
For 8 years. Isn't racism gone, right. people?
And that...
We're post-racial.
And that, you know, we care about women... And
children.
And children.
Yeah.
And
gay
other
people.
Yeah. And like...
other people.
And so do we have to really confront something when this person who, like, we would say could never happen?
I would say
president.
My thing was, as an African-American and as a woman, I'm like, I'm surprised it took so long. I'm surprised it took so long to get another crazy... He's like Andrew Jackson meets Theodore Roosevelt meets... I mean, it's just like, you know...
And then, I mean, I think it's perfect that, like, he's a reality TV
exactly.
show.
Exactly.
Like,
that tells you where...
That's where we're
you
at.
Keep, that's exactly where
there
we're
was
at.
A
yeah.
There's a politician, I think her name is Kamala Harris, African-American woman, and she keeps tweeting these things that are like, America, this is not who we are. And people are like, no, this is who we are. All right? This is who we are. This is where we are right now. Stop saying that. Like, you can't keep saying this, you know, this is what happened.
Right.
Someone voted for this man. A lot of people support or are willing to turn a blind eye for other reasons. That's where we are.
I mean, my sense when I listen to avid Trump supporters is truly that he seems like outside the status quo. And, like, is, you know, is,
how is
like,
a billionaire real estate magnate who's been on TV outside of any kind of status quo?
Because he's not a politician. And being someone who, like,
people have a very small idea of what a politician is. A politician is anyone who's elected.
Yeah.
So that's
you know, he doesn't have the same scripts that a lot of politicians have. He doesn't, he goes off book. He does these outrageous things. And I think because they're not quite personalizing what he's done, it's they're just seeing these antics, and it's kind of exciting to see someone do something that's so outside the like norm. I mean,
I don't know if they know they're not just watching TV though. Like, I don't understand if these people realize that behind what he says, there's actually like policies. Like, there's still everything that was going on before is still going on.
Yeah,
they're still going to get screwed. But he's entertaining people. Yeah. So I think that's what's worrying to me. But I mean, this is what happens when you have a country that's been raised on TV since, like, you know, the 50s.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Where they're getting all of their information
and, like, not even
from
good
talking
TV.
Heads. Yeah. From bad TV.
Yeah.
That was fascinating. Yeah, I was not shocked at all. I definitely think there's a lot to be learned from Donald Trump's presidency.
Yeah.
One is, this is who we are.
I know. Right? I'm still stuck. Like, I can't.
Because you know, he's such a boob.
That it's just so apparent that you just...
It's apparent to you.
Yeah.
But apparently it's not apparent to a lot of people. Like, there, I saw a play, a one-minute play about Trump, and it was funny. It was like this grandfather was in cryogenically frozen, and they thaw him out, and Trump is the president. There was a guy who was like 80, like in the 80s. And so he wakes up and he's like, huh? This guy who is a failed real estate magnate and ran a Miss America pageant is the president? That's who he is.
Mm-hmm.
We know that because we're New Yorkers. But I don't think the rest of the world could see that.
Right.
He's a local bum. Right? Mm-hmm. We've known about him for decades.
Right. Right.
To everybody else, it's like, oh my God, this guy's on TV.
Yeah.
He's doing some
famous
real estate stuff. He's got stakes and a university and ties. You know? And the other choice is a woman. We don't want that.
And honestly, I mean, I was in Barbados. I didn't vote. I'm relieved because I wouldn't. I guess I would have voted. I voted for Bernie. I voted in the primary. And was
a lot
really,
of people really voted for that guy.
I was really excited about the possibility for him. And I think the media really, I mean, I think the media did him a disservice. I remember, like, early on,
young people were really into him. He was showing up and doing rallies, and they weren't televising it, which I thought was interesting.
He really is like a. I mean, I don't usually quantify people this way, but I think he really is genuinely a good person.
He seems decent.
But I don't know. NPR would all of their little stories kind of like laughed and made fun of him, and I was like, really, NPR? Like.
I think they kind of tried to make him into like this like doddering old professor. But I'm like, no, this guy is actually a career politician.
And he's amazing. He's done some really amazing
And he's done
things.
Some really interesting stuff. But they definitely, because they characterize everybody, right?
Yeah.
So they characterize Hillary, they characterize Trump, and they characterize Sanders.
Yeah. And honestly, like, I think, so policy aside, and this is what pisses people off. Like, sure, Trump's policies and things that he's doing, yes, I get it.
No, they're bad.
But I think if Hillary had been elected, we could have pretended like everything's fine.
Yeah.
We would have been pretending much longer.
And it's not.
We would have had the same crappy policy that was rolling along.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we are now experiencing is all the call-outs of sexual misconduct and, and abuse and crime and all
let's
of that.
Let's hear
and
about it.
Let's... Now, so men are now called into question... to question themselves and what's going to happen. I mean, like, how can they handle this?
Well,
those
I mean,
guys.
And that's where these same cards that we already have kind of come back into play. The thing that we're trying to do, or like what I see happening, is this thing of like women power and retribution and da da da, which is, we all need to be more empowered, but things don't work out well until we unite. Like, that's what is going to, like, it sounds so ridiculous, but, like, we need to love each other. That's what is going to... That, and, like, really, we need to love ourselves. that's where it starts. But that's the only thing that makes it work is if we real. So when I'm working with people, so one of my favorite things that I do, people that are having relationship issues, like recurrent relationship pattern issues, or people who are in some way stuck when it comes to their creative ability. So
you put those two things together.
Yeah. Well,
because, so the relationship issues and then...
Right. Because fundamentally, think of it this way. Okay. We are yin and we're... I might have talked about this before, but we're yin and we're yang. We're masculine and we're feminine. We're both. And we need to have a balance and an integration between those in order to function properly as a person and as a society. Like, I mean, it makes sense. Like, mm-hmm. things just need to be balanced in some way. And someone yelled at me for saying, like, masculine, feminine. I don't believe in a binary. Cool. Great. Like, don't believe in a binary.
Don't.
But for right now, we're going to use this terminology. And it doesn't mean boys are masculine and girls are feminine. It's just like, I mean, the sociopolitical stuff has gotten so...
But masculine and feminine, those concepts are much older than all of the things that we're talking about
now. You don't have
now.
To be in a male body or a female body to be
right.
experience the masculine
right.
and the feminine.
These concepts are outside of humans as well.
That's the important piece. So we're really talking... And I like talking about them as yin and yang, because it's like two halves of a whole. You have the yin and you have the yang. Yin being the feminine, the receptive... And again, we can take, like, gender completely out of it. Because a lot of times people hear this and then they shut down. I don't subscribe to that. Fine. Cool. Don't. But let's talk about, like, there has to be a way to talk about this because it's really, really important. So, you have your, we'll call it Sherman and Harry. You have your Sherman and your Harry. And they need to be balanced. But anyway, so what happens for me when I am working with someone, their yin and their yang show up to me as people. And they talk to me about what's going on. And I get to talk to them. I do, like, relationship counseling for their, like, inner people.
I like that.
I like that. It's very creative.
Yeah. And it's awesome. So it's, you know, overtly comes up a lot with relationship. But if you think of your creative process, so think of, you know, different ways that we get stuck creatively. One is, I'm really, really busy, but nothing means anything to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the masculine or the yang. So think of the yin and the yang. You have the beer, the part of you that is just allowing and being and receiving and taking in information. And
oh, I heard beer.
Yeah. I heard beer, too.
It's spelled the same way. Beer.
Beer.
The
okay.
Beer.
Okay.
The beer.
Okay.
The one that bees.
Okay.
The one that bees.
So the beer and the doer.
Okay.
Okay.
And the doer would be your yang, your masculine, just taking action. And so in an ideal relationship between these two, and again, like, people don't get pissed off about, this is not how men and women need to interact.
We're talking about one person.
We're talking about one person. We're talking about your yin and your yang. The yin says, like, I want this. This is what I desire. Bring this to me. And the yang's like, I got you. Let me get that for you. And so the example I always use, to really envision this, is there's a tree and there's a woman sitting underneath the tree, and she sees, or let's say a person, who cares? She sees an apple and she's like, And then the masculine or the other person says, oh, you want that? Here. And grabs the apple and gives it to the feminine. I gave that example and I knew it. I saw this lady in the audience and I was like, she is going to have a problem with. Yeah. She was like, I can get my own apple. I don't need a man to get my apple.
That's right.
We're like, bitch, it's you.
You're getting your own apple. This way.
Should have thrown an apple at her.
And I mean, really, we're just working with it. Next time I will. Yeah. I'll have a bunch ready.
Really? Boom.
We are really working within the limitations of language. Like, that's all that we're really dealing
with.
Yeah, right,
when you're talking about concepts, though, it is important, like what you said, we're just naming these concepts so we can talk about them in a way that's relatable.
Yeah.
And otherwise, we're not speaking the same language.
Right, well, this girl, yelled at me for all of this, and, you know, you can't say yin and yang and whatever.
You can say whatever you want.
Can we talk about up and down?
No. As a downist, I'm offended.
It's so ridiculous. So when people get stuck, because mostly I work with people that are stuck in some way, feeling like they need some sort of shift or transition, a lot of the time it's an imbalance with the yin and the yang. Because if you're too yin, then you have all these ideas and all these feelings and all of these wants, and for whatever reason are not taking action.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're just not able to, like, get things done or make things happen. Or if you're too yang, then you're just going.
You're picking apples all day.
Yeah, and you're not, you don't even know if you like them anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you haven't, it's you don't know why.
My quota of apples.
Yeah. I've got a shitload of apples.
Yeah. And I hate apples. It's the person who feels really busy but isn't happy with their success. And so I love it. I love when this happens because the two sides will talk to me. And then I do, like, relationship counseling. So I'm like, you know, how do you feel about him? How do you feel about her? Oh, I didn't even notice she was over there. She doesn't even like me. Do you not like him? Oh, no, I love him. He just seems too busy. Or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, so there's a, and it's really fun to facilitate these conversations.
Is this your own thing?
Yeah, it just started happening.
I love this idea.
There are a few. Shakti Gawain is an author from, like, a New Age author from the 80s that, like, lightly alluded to this,
mm-hmm.
you know, in one of her books, her book Living in the Light. And then, there's, like...
So it's a concept that's out there.
Yeah, Sidra Stone, Helen Sidra Stone, I think, like, they do something like this. But for me, this just was very organic, where one day, I was talking to the person, and then the feminine talked to me. And I was like, oh, well, there's a lady, and she's saying this. So,
That's cool.
Like, when we talk about the things I do, my favorite thing is to sift through the different aspects of any individual and help integrate it. Because we all have these little schisms and splits and stuff.
What aspects of the feminine balance out the male? Like, and vice versa?
So it's more about the two of them being connected. So it doesn't, there's no one right way to do it. There's just this willingness, like, what happens in the, like, when I'm doing this work with my clients is I will usually try to get them to look at each other in the eyes. And then when the two, you know, fictional characters I'm speaking to look at each other in the eye, they'll remember something, like, something will happen and they're like, oh. But I guess, I mean, in yin and yang, and again, this is not people. People can do it whatever the fuck they want to do. I saw two, like, women with facial hair that were, like, dating on the subway over. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
whatever.
Do your thing.
It doesn't matter to me. Do your thing.
Was it nice facial hair?
It was really,
I'm always fascinated by that because I see, you know, like, look, I wax my lip, okay? I'm not trying to have facial hair. But I feel like if you're a woman who has facial hair, like, do it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, have it.
I've always thought that that would be, like, I always wanted a soul patch and, like, long sideburns.
Yeah.
But you can't do it, though.
I think it could work.
I
love your hair. Mercy has beautiful, long, blonde hair.
Yeah, it's very long.
It's down to my belly button.
I love a mustache and a beard. You've seen me wear a mustache and beard before. Like, when I've done some comedy stuff, mm-hmm. for no reason,
I just put it on.
It's fun. It wasn't even a part of the costume.
I feel the same way. I have an Abraham Lincoln
that is fantastic.
I got to go in drag for Halloween one year.
It's fun.
And it was the best. It was, you get treated differently by men. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's amazing, the difference. And I'm a good-looking man. To be honest.
And modest,
very
as most
humble,
men are.
Modest.
Humble, modest.
And definitely, like, yeah, like, the body language changes. You can, like...
You can spread. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
I just think
a certain amount of freedom.
The mustache-beard combo, for me, it's just fun. It's cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's neat.
Yeah.
I don't like... There's nothing else about it that I would... And drag is not interesting to me. I just, you know, just a mustache.
Mm-hmm.
Beard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sideburns, no.
So... I always in the, like, again, in the sort of cartoon character, fictional people reality, not real people can do whatever the fuck they want. The feminine needs to, and this actually does happen in real life, where the feminine needs to say what she wants, and the masculine will always do it.
Like, oh, so that is the thing, like, you can't, the feminine just can't be passive, just wishing, has to actually voice clearly.
Yeah, but also, I think, has to, to voice it clearly in a way and not vacillate so much. Because that's what I find, what I think I'm identifying as my feminine side, doing, be like, I want to do this, no, wait this.
Right.
And then the masculine side is like, well, I already did that, what happened?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, I did that thing, and now it's like...
That's like an image I get a lot.
You don't want an apple, you want a pear? What the hell?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it's like just helping them work together to like figure out how are we going to do this, because she needs to know that he's on her side. He needs to know that she's on his side and that they want to work together so that both of them are happy. Like that, I mean, it sounds so basic, but that's really what it is. And I do find that like with people, very often the woman needs to be clearer about what she wants, because every relationship, every couple that I've ever worked with, let's say 9 out of 10, whatever. But the man was just like, I will do anything that she needs or wants if I just know what it is. And the women usually say, I shouldn't have to ask.
Yeah. Well, he should know.
That's
because they feel like
he should know.
They feel like that if he loved them, if he knew them, then. Mm-hmm. And it just
paying attention is what
it just gets so in the way.
And well, it's like, I would say as a married woman, I will say my husband is probably says to me, he's not a mind reader.
Mm-hmm. No,
Mm-mm. It's of his many talents, reading my mind is not one of those things.
And it's frequently an absurd, I can't do it. An unfair expectation to think that. And I mean, even with me, like, so I am a professional psychic. I've had the conversation with my son multiple times where I'm like, talk to me. Like, I can't guess at this. And I've said, I'm not a fortune teller. And he usually says, yes, you are. Or I'll say, I'm not psychic.
He's like, just pull a card on it, please.
But yeah, so it's a really, really fun process. And I teach workshops on that. And because mostly it's work that I teach my clients to do for themselves so that they can go inward. If you really want to get into it, the thing I'm developing is... I've come up with 4 primary binaries. So, we all have places where we have, like, splits and schisms, and usually through trauma or some sort of hurt that we've experienced as a child. Mm-hmm. And the 4 primary binaries, so the main one, your masculine and feminine, that affects just how you live your life, how you're functioning in the world. The next one is, like, the parent-child relationship. And, these are all parts that live inside of us. And we'll usually be mirrored by our relationship with our parents or our relationship with our children. But if we can fundamentally shift it within us, then we will usually see some sort of result in the external world. My best example is a woman came and she was like, I just want more men around in my life. And like, I just don't have any. And so when I did the work with her, the thing that came up wasn't just... it wasn't just a relationship between a male and a female. It was this whole world where it was like this matriarchal society where all the women killed the male people once they got to be like 15 or 16. And it was, it would have been an amazing story to like read in a book. And so I had like a chat with the head of her matriarchal society and was like, you're saying that you want this connection, you want more men around. Do you realize that you're killing them all? And that's why
before they come
any.
To maturity.
Yeah. And it was like, oh, well, yeah, we have to, and just that same way where people don't make logical sense. Well, she was like, yeah, I know, we got to do that. But I just, as I was talking with her, it was like more and more of the women in that society were like, I don't want to kill my son. I don't want to be, I don't want to not have a partner. I don't even have a real thing to say about this, but something in me knows this is wrong. And so it's kind of bringing all those parts of her to awareness. And then she said the very next, she runs like a spiritual circle. There were 7 men that came to her spirit, her like circle, when in the past, no men ever came.
That's bizarre. Wow. She manifested dudes.
Well, this thing, like it really does shift something fundamental, like internally, and it really quickly impacts the reality that they experience.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
If you like our style,
consider buying the gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Mmm, box of wine.
So Marcy is going to give us some advice on advice. Advice on advice is a segment we find advice on the internet that stinks.
And it's unqualified.
And we improve upon it by giving our advice on advice. Hence, hashtag advice on advice, if hashtags are still out there.
Okay.
So Marcy's going to pull cards on the seller advice that we have. What's this advice?
This is Dear E. Jean.
Oh, okay, the ready? Best.
2 weeks ago, I received an invitation on Facebook to become friends with my mom. I am 23 years old. I recently graduated from college and moved 400 miles from home.
She knows exactly how many miles away she is.
I have nothing to hide from her, but she's the kind of person who will try to add my friends as hers. She's
I have nothing to hide but my friends.
Yeah. She's already added 3 of them, and it makes me so mad. Since I didn't add her, she hasn't spoken to me. What do I do? Frustrated in Florida.
Dude, I haven't even pulled cards on this. Make a fake Facebook account.
Oh, that's just for the mom to look at?
Yeah.
I mean, my rule for this is I tell family, no family. Mm-hmm. That's just my rule. I said this is only for my friends and people in the entertainment community. I don't Facebook with my family. If you want to interact with me, give me a call. Don't give me a call.
Mm-hmm. Right? Right. Yeah. Just like, no, this is just for my friends.
But this, the mom is getting on and adding the friends. Okay.
Yeah.
What do we have?
Do you want?
Yeah. What does she say?
She says, "Oh, stop being such a self-centered little twit." Everybody Everybody and their mother is on Facebook. And if the woman who diapered your dorsal region happens to be in advertising, news media, television, publishing, theater, fashion, public relations, the movies, or on the online industry, it's just as important that she look good to her friends on Facebook as you do to yours. Be nice or Auntie E will send you a friend request you'll never soon forget.
Wow. I didn't even think about the fact
like
that
E. Jean got triggered.
She did get triggered.
E. Jean is with a glass of Beaujolais swirling, sitting at a big armchair, I imagine.
I would get that invitation.
But I never would think about it from that point of view that maybe the mom is like, I need some friends on here. Like, I got, you know.
And I've got to show my friends that I have a relationship
with my daughter and my daughter's friends. All right.
I mean, it sounds like the mom just wants to have connections. I don't know.
It sounds like E. Jean wants to have connections, but it sounds like the mom is like that kind of person that, you know, is poaching.
Poaching or just trying to be in like her daughter's life in a way that her daughter doesn't want.
I have some meta advice.
All right.
Stop giving so many fucks about Facebook. It doesn't matter. It's stupid.
It's true.
You know?
I enjoy Facebook, but I've left it before.
What comes up here is that she should friend her mom and then, knowing that she's friends with her mom, have that as a filter when she's posting on Facebook.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because, honestly, I think Facebook would be better.
If people's moms are on.
If people just kind of, like, filtered and were like, you know, would I say this in front of my mom?
See, the problem is with me, yes. Everything I say, I've always lived my entire life out loud.
Yeah.
And the internet for me is no exception. But I understand that people might not want their moms or family on there because of emotional blackmail issues.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a challenge with my mom where, so I had kind of a professional thing where I just never posted about my son. And I made, and then also a personal commitment to never post, like, on my way to the post office, like, you know. I have a cousin
that
does that, you know?
Thank you for not posting
Heading downtown, hope things go well. Like, what are you doing? You know those people that give the whole day update?
Going to lunch.
And also, just, I wanted to respect his privacy and also was maintaining, like, a brand kind of, you know, just...
Yeah.
My Facebook is public. I have 3,000 friends, you know? But I realized that my mother was impacted by me never posting about him. Like, her take was that I was not focused on him or like she was kind of taking it too seriously.
Okay.
And then when I realized that, I just threw up a picture of him real quick. My baby, I love him. And then we were good.
That was it?
Yeah. Huh. Like, seriously, I hope she's not listening, but I tested it out for a while because I could see where she would get more wanting to, interfere more. Mm-hmm. And kind of just having this sort of air that maybe I wasn't as attentive to him as I needed to be.
But I think, you have a son who's, a young adult.
Yeah.
Protect his privacy.
Exactly. That's where I was coming from.
Like, he's the one people commenting, like, rando women, like me and Katie, being like, hey, it's your son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It totally happens. The thing I've been doing to him on Facebook lately is going back through old posts and then, calling him out.
Another reason why mom shouldn't be on there.
Well, it sounds like, but with this woman, she's 23, she moved away, she's trying to
and
separate.
She mentioned that on purpose, that she's moved away.
Yeah, no, she's like, she sounds like she's just in the thing where she wants some separation.
Oh, here we
right?
go, people.
Fake Facebook account, but really, live your life, be less on Facebook.
Yeah.
That's the advice here.
All right.
Cool.
Let's go.
That would save her relationship with her mom, you know what I mean? And
get on with
make
your life.
The world a better place.
We're old, so I'm sitting at my desk on Facebook. But yeah, I guess young people are more out and about, and they probably should be on Facebook less. They should be doing stuff, right?
They should look up when they're crossing the street.
They should be getting drunk and late, and I don't know.
And just not worrying about it. I think social media is one of the worst things that's happened to us.
I'm glad we didn't have it.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm glad we didn't have it.
I just sound old.
You know, we all managed to find the party, to find the thing, to go somewhere.
And to keep people out of the party, more importantly.
Right.
All right, what's the next
one? My next one is, Dear Abby, I'm a 27-year-old woman who can't seem to find a man to call her own. Every time I search on websites or at gyms, I can't find anyone decent who lives nearby.
Websites
you can't
and gyms?
Find anyone
websites
decent at the gym?
I met someone who took me to his house in Wisconsin for the holidays, but I live in Illinois. Ever since I slept with him on the fifth date, he has come here less often, and when he does, it's never just to see me. He also texts less often than he did, and he has hinted that I should see other people here in town and keep him as a backup.
What's the problem?
I'm desperate to find someone who will be there for me. I want to be married before my 30th birthday. I have tried everything, but all the decent men nowadays are already taken or not serious about forming a relationship. Hope
with
you can help.
Yeah.
Signed, can't find a man.
What is the advice?
Okay. Your problem may be your desperation.
That's what I was
going
to say.
When people are desperate.
Dudes can smell that shit and they run.
When people are desperate, their anxiety can drive people away. The idea that you must be married by the time you are 30 is setting an artificial and possibly unrealistic goal for yourself. It may be time to stop looking and begin concentrating on building a satisfying life for yourself without help from a partner. Once you accomplish that, you may find that both men and women find you more attractive to be around.
Nice. I like that Abby's like, I don't like you. I don't even know you and I don't like you.
I can't guarantee.
But be open to ladies as well as men.
I've just got to throw that in there. I can't guarantee that it will help you find a husband, but even if you don't, you will have a happier life. No one, not everyone needs to be married.
Oh,
damn,
wow. Yeah, I wasn't going to say that.
Abby, okay, what do the cards say?
When we objectify people, they're not as interested in being around. Like, she's not treating them like people. She's treating them like potential husband objects.
Yeah, material.
An object. Yeah.
Instead of someone that she wants to spend time with and get to know.
And enjoy. She just wants this thing.
Yeah, they're an end game.
An acquisition. So going back to what we were talking about. Oh, you might need to edit this out anyway. But anyway. Going back to, looking at the balance, finding balance between masculine and feminine, we can't treat people like that. You can't treat people like objects. You can't be like, I want this thing and have no, engagement
with the person.
Like, that just doesn't work.
I didn't even think about that, yeah. She's not looking at these men as whole people.
Right.
She's looking at someone who is going to check that box for her for whatever she wants.
And
for her
so,
future.
in the male female paradigm, this would be that her masculine is taken over.
She's picking apples.
She's just got this is my goal. I'm getting to my goal without any sort of receptivity or connection or awareness of what else is really going on.
That's fascinating.
Hmm.
I like
Very
it.
Interesting. All
right, I can't resist because we only have a few minutes left. We got to ask about ourselves.
Yes. Yeah, so, okay. Yes.
I mean, come on.
What a card for Jaquetta, just for whatever.
Yeah.
And then a card for me.
Can I just have a question in my mind?
You don't want to ask it out loud.
I'm not sure if it's fully formed. Oh, my God. Am I going to find a new direction for my talents in 2018 and intellect? Four card spread, people. Oh, extra card.
Bonus card.
Bonus.
Yeah, I feel like right now you're going in too many directions at once. Like there's too much going on.
Yep.
And you are overlooking things like friends, fun, community, happiness. And kind of there's like a mixed intention. Are you doing stuff so that you can make connections and feel connected and be part of a community? Or are you doing things so that you have a creative outlet? Like which is which? And I feel like when you were like at a different point in your life, it was more about just, I'm an artist, I do my thing. And coming up now and like where you're wanting something different is the desire for people and connection, and that's actually for kind of in a new way overriding some of the creative impulse stuff. So it's time to get back to the drawing board is sort of the overall card. The Seven of Cups is your overall card, which is the card of like really going deep into your imagination and really giving some thought and some consideration to like the overall goal. So you know those times where we achieve or fulfill our goal and don't realize it. So it's like, well, what am I doing? What's going on with me? It's just, there's like a need to reset. The you that made your sort of template for what you're heading for has changed. So you need a new template. It like the example I would use is sort of like, there was a while when, you know, I lived upstate, but I was down in the city every other weekend. And I was like, yeah, I'm doing my thing. I'm doing this cool stuff. Da, 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 da. And then I realized like, I actually just want to like sleep with my cats and, you know, water my plants and, you know, don't. So like I changed and I needed to reorganize my goals and my way of being to reflect those changes.
No. Oh,
so that's kind of what comes up for you.
That is not what I wanted to hear, but I'll take it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, another card,
yeah,
people.
No, the Two of Cups is it's just about that you really want more connection with people. That there's, that relationships have become much more important to you than they ever used to be.
Ooh. All right. Doesn't sound right to me, but I'll ruminate on it.
It is.
Oh. Another card, people. All right. Katie.
Okay. I feel like all areas of my life are like confetti up in the air.
Uh-huh.
And I like control.
Okay.
But I know I can't control. But what can I do?
Yeah.
to fix or to get on the right direction. How about that? In each love, career, and home.
All right. So we'll pull a card for each of those things. So we have love, we have career, and we have home. So the home thing looks like it's sorting itself out very soon anyway.
Oh, okay.
And so the thing is to, like, make it the most comfortable and home-like. Like, even if you're somewhere temporary, if you were living in your van, you know, whatever, I would say, like, make that very homey so that you don't feel displaced. Because at least then you're going to feel settled and comfortable, and that's going to be kind of the grounding point for everything else that you might do.
Okay.
Career. It looks like things are in flux, but there's some new opportunities coming your way. And so you just have to kind of be ready for that.
Okay.
And then love life, I feel like just don't give up on it. I mean, there's this sense of you kind of getting to a place of like,
don't give up,
I'm
girl.
Just, you know, I'm not into this anymore. This isn't happening for me. But you have a very specific, almost traditional way that you want things to be. And what comes up is that you can have that just, like, stay connected to it. Okay. Stay wanting that.
Stay connected to my vision.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
I like that one for you.
Yeah.
Did you like mine?
I did like
okay,
yours.
Okay, good. Yes. Then I know it's good.
Yeah.
Can we get one card for the podcast?
One card for the podcast itself?
Yeah. The podcast itself. And then we'll get the tell us where we can find you bit. All right. One card for
we're
the
doing
podcast.
Four cards real quick.
Four card Monty.
It's just more of the same. Like this the podcast is in a state of maturing. So when it was like, let's do a podcast, like that was back in the day. Now it's like, I've got this podcast. Yes,
I love it.
You know? And it's just continue to work. Like the podcast itself, overall, the magician, it is whatever you decide that it is.
Nice. It's just thank what you make it. So we want to thank you for coming back into the studio.
Well,
we haven't seen you in a while.
Me.
And if people are looking to connect with you, how may they do so?
Metamarcy.com. And I don't know if this was like this before, but you can book like right on my website.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And
okay.
Pay and do everything. Find out everything. And you can always text 860-823-8605. Do not text me questions. I will ignore those. But if you want to get in touch with me, it's the best way to reach me. Calling me.
Isn't that going to work?
To be very honest with you. And I respond to email all the time. Marcy at metamarcy.com.
All right. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.